QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KO6Q. Hearing none, are there any announcements for the net? Please call KO6Q. All right, no announcements. Topic for the evening, we will be discussing signal reports. There's currently three different systems in operation. Newest will be the CS system. February issue of the ARRL QST magazine, page 77. And we'll be working up to that, discussing the RST first. All right, I will now call the brief roster. WB6CLZ, Mike.
Evening, Tom and the net. This is WB6CLZ, back to net control.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for being out there. How about WB6CIN? Cindy there.
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
Good evening, Cindy. Glad to have you out there. KA6CIA, George, Lucerne.
Good evening, Tom. I'll be listening. KA6CIA.
Hey, George, glad to have you out there. Moving on down, I have KJ6 HCS, Mike.
Good evening, Tom Lanek, KJ6HCS, no traffic.
All right, Mike, glad to have you out there. And moving on down here, I have KJ6FIL, Mike. And nothing heard. Moving on down here, KJ6KDL, Jim.
This is KJ6KDK. Would you please check in myself and also Jim, KJ6KDL.
Hello.
He's close, but he can't get to the radio.
Not a problem here. Actually, I've also kind of misplaced. I'm using an older roster, so if I miss somebody out there, please accept my apologies there. All right, I got you both checked in here. Let's see here, KI6IQA, Kelly. And nothing heard. How about WB6PBZ, Ray? And nothing heard. Moving on down the list here, KJ6RAY, Ray. And nothing heard. Let's see here, Rod, WA6ITC.
Yeah, we're out here. WA6ITC, Lake William.
Hey, Rod, glad to have you out there. Yeah, I just found my updated list here in the nick of time. Okay, N6BOP, Ann, are you out there? Nothing heard. K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is Ron, K6GVL, Green Valley Lake.
This is what happens when I try to organize my office. I lose stuff. Thanks, Ron, for being out there. 86PL, Harold.
Good evening, 86PL.
Harold, glad to have you out there. And I forgot K6EKX, if he's listening. It's Mike's father on the scanner. Moving on down the list here. K6LCS will not be with us this evening, had a presentation. We'll give W6JLM a call, but I think she's out of range. And nothing heard. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Howdy, Tom and Annette, K6YNW.
All right, Chris, glad to have you out there. How about W6POO, Chip? Hey, Chip, I think that's you out there, but can't really understand you. You're really not in there solid. Maybe you can check something out there. K6LN, Bill.
Good evening, Tom. You know what I'm going to be doing, so I'll just be listening tonight. K6LN.
Okay, Bill, get under the oil pan there, open that little net there, and you can look up there and see if the oil comes out. All right. KA6ROD, Rod. Nothing heard. How about AE6CK, Victor? And nothing heard. KB6LTY, Christy. And nothing heard. And that's the short list as I have it here. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6PYB.
That's the guy I missed. Hello out there, David. Thanks for checking in, KJ6PYB. Anybody else?
KJ6SYK, Eric, mobile in Anaheim, California.
Eric, mobile, glad to have you out there. Anybody else? I don't know if that's you, Chip. Still no copy out there. Anybody else?
I'll try it again. W6POO here, back to Utah.
Well, that's, what is that? Got a good copy on you, good buddy? No, no, 5-9. Hey, you're solid now. Thanks, Chip. Anybody else?
6SRN, Newport.
Hey, Newport, FRN, thanks for checking in. Anybody else?
IQA and BOP.
Oh, Kelly, glad to have you out there. KI6IQA and N6BOP, and glad to have you both. Anybody else?
Yeah, FIL.
Ah, Mike, you were further up the list here. Didn't have you on the old list, got you on the new list, which I couldn't find. Glad to have you out there, Mike, sorry. Anybody else out there? Just come back to KF6Q for guest check-in. All right, I think we got everything there. Well, as we always start out our net with a little brief DX report there. Mike, got any good information or what's happening out there with the sunspots, solar flares, and all assorted, all or none of the above?
Okie dokie. Well, no DX on this end. I haven't been hearing much. Space Weather is reporting a puny sunspot number of 27. If you'll recall, it was about 100 above that last week or the week before, with a solar flux index of 112 solar flux units. So MUF got up to about 28 megahertz today, so there was some stuff going on, but nothing spectacular. We didn't hear anything. Little CW on the lower end, and that's about it. We did have an M-class flare go off on February 6th, but that looks like it's rotating back around the sun. We won't be getting much more from that, and probably just a glancing blow, if anything, from the flare that was produced on the 6th. So nothing cooking. Tom, let's check and see if anybody else has any more information, and maybe we'll hear some exciting stuff we didn't pick up. Back over to you.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. Anybody else out there, any DX to report, please come back. Well, Mike, I think there's slim pickings on that this week, probably because of that low sunspot number for one. Anyway, well, let's get to the heart of the matter here. Clint will not be with us this evening with the ham satellite report. We're going to move right into the topic here. All of us at some point or another have either asked for or probably helped out with signal reports. Little thing here before we get started on the different types and methods and why that's important. Mike, if I was to go on to, say, a rag shoe out there that's spread out over, say, southern, southwestern states, and I ask for a signal report, what would I probably get?
You would probably get, depending on if you were in a contest or not, you would definitely get a 5x9 if you were in a contest, no matter what your signal report. And probably a loosely translated report using the old RST system.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, we all want to be nice out there and polite on the air, and of course 5x9 is pretty much a standard of a great signal out there, a good copy. And it's always nice to be polite like that. However, there are times when an individual might be working on an antenna system or trying something different or trying out a new radio, and if he's not really, let's just say in this case, 5'9", you're not helping him much. And I know it sounds rude if you're going to give him something different, but sometimes it's better to be honest. I know we've done a lot of experimenting up here with different types of antennas and radios, and if somebody came back with a 5'9 every time, we'd never even know if we were better, worse, or what. Anything to expand on that, Mike? Back to you.
Yeah, I could take that one and run with it. Well, you know, as most of you guys know, I'm a QRP guy. I normally have my transceiver cranked down to 5 watts. And I want to know what kind of signal I'm getting. You know, I'm hoping I'm booming in. I'm 5'9 plus 20 over or whatever. But with 5 watts, that's not always the case. You know, I want a true signal report. And on FM also, you know, your deviation could be off. Your mic, you might not be speaking into. There's so many things. Just for starters, back to you, Tom.
Exactly. And if you're trying to reach somebody over in Siberia or parts unknown in Tasmania, chances are you're not going to be 5'9". It would be nice if you were. but at that point, of course, you'd like to really know what's happening. So anyway, this is called the RST Signal Reporting System. And we're reading off of a document here I sent around just to kind of give everybody an idea. This was originated back in the days of CW. And the first of 1 through 5 is readability. 1 being unreadable and 5 being perfectly readable. Of course, you know, graduated through there with 2, 3, and 4. Second is signal strength. Now, some of you may think, and it may have been adapted, that the 9 of 5'9 is S9. But that's not true. Let me reset. The original S of the RST system, basically 1 is a very faint signal, and 9 being extremely strong signals. And, you know, 5 is fairly good signals. Most of us actually have a 5. 9 would be the guy running 1,500 watts, and he's 2 blocks away. That's a 9. So we've actually modified this and kind of twisted it a little bit, and it's really kind of lost its meaning. The T, which is tone, a lot applies to the CW stuff, so we're going to kind of skip over that. Mike, anything else to add to that?
Touch real lightly on the tone. Anymore, you know, most modern transceivers don't have the chirps, the tone, and everything. They're usually a perfect tone or pretty close to it. Occasionally you hear one, but yeah, so the tone really is kind of an outmoded type of signal in the RST.
Right, and that's, you know, so we're just going to go with that 5'9 that we hear so often out there. We're going to move off of that just for a moment into something that's really also out there, been around for a long time, called the Circuit Merit System, CM system. And basically, CM system is pretty limited. It's basically got a 0 through 5. That's it. You're either CM 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And 5 is just loud and clear, no noise, full quieting. And that's great. I mean, actually, for something real simplified, that is good. But it doesn't really get very precise. There's two different parts of our signal. Mike, when we're talking about readability, I mean, what is that? Does that mean I'm booming in there, or what exactly is, what is readability or copyability? Is that such a word? Anyway, back to you, Mike.
You could be booming in. I mean, your signal could be just 20 over 9 on my S meter. But if you're, like, for instance, my little handy talkie has got a membrane on the microphone, it full quieting into the repeater, but when I talk, my voice isn't up there. It's kind of puny, kind of down, unless I really speak into the microphone. So it has nothing really to do with your signal. It's how you're heard and how you are perceived and how people are be able to make sense of your signal.
Okay, roger that. So if I talk really weak, I'm going to just fade out here. I don't know if you can still hear me. Or I'm going to actually speak up and speak into the microphone loud. You can actually perceive a difference on that end. Is that correct?
Is correct. And the bars did not change on the S meter here.
My NW?
Yes, go ahead, Chris.
And the Catalina repeater, I was talking to Stan, K6RMR, and he said, how much you watch you run? I said, 60. He said, drop it down. I went to 40. He said, there's a touch of noise in your system, on your signal now, but you're perfectly copyable. And that's the deal there. There may be some noise, but it's perfect copy. And that's one of the possibilities anyway, K6YNW.
Yeah, Chris, and as we drop our power level down, which is always great, there's a couple reasons we're going to get on that in just a minute. That was the second part, the signal strength itself, which if you have an S meter or a bar graph S meter on an HT or even a separate meter showing signal strength, that's going to show basically not an exact power measurement, but how strong the signal is coming in, not essentially not what your audio copy is. So, Mike, and that would be one thing. If I cut my power back like Chris is saying, well, okay, the power level is going to go away, and the only thing that you're going to probably perceive is I'm not going to blank out that noise. Does that sound about correct?
USL, that doesn't mean your audio is not fully copyable. It just means that there's a little bit of noise on your signal.
Exactly, and so that's why we have actually two different things there, the copyability, hard to say that, and the signal strength. Two very important parts there, and you know, like what you're doing there with QRP stuff, you can drop out quite a bit, possibly, until you're just above the noise and still 100% copy, you know, and then maybe your signal strength is down there. That's good for QRP people. That's what you do. Well, anyway, and the RST has been around, and there's a lot of different modifications of that. However, in the February issue of QST, page 77, pretty cool thing called a CS, that's Charlie Sierra, new system, kind of takes where we've taken RST, you know, in a slang type and put some meaning to that. Mike, turning over there, flipping over there to the magazine. The CS system, pretty neat, nice article. And by the way, this is by N7RR, who also, you know, has got a lot of good stuff out there. So, what would be the first thing here is looking at this, we have the copyability scale, and that's a lot different. Do you see that on the chart?
Sure do, Tom, and the copyability scale, that goes, it's kind of not what we're used to. It's not numbers. It's N, and then it's 0, and it's 1 to 9, a G, and a P. Well, the N is no recoverable signal. I mean, that's when you can hear somebody there, but there's nothing you can do with it. The next one is a zero, and that's discernible but not copyable. That's just a little bit more than N. N is kind of when you have those signals that you don't know if it's your imagination or whether there's really somebody there. Zero, you know they're there, but you really can't make anything out of it. And then 1 to 9 is 10% to 90% copy, and that's pretty self-explanatory. G is good copy, which is 100% copy, but just a little bit short of perfect. And then the one we always try to achieve is the P, and that's armchair copy. You can sit back in your armchair, you know, and drink your cup of coffee and not have any problems at all copying. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and actually, the P, which would be, I can see now that the 5-9 is now becoming P something of the next scale that we have there. Papa and golf, you know, two good things there. Using the letters, of course, like that too, you know, we've got the alpha code that kind of helps us out with that. But here again, 1 through 9 gives actually a total of, what, about 12 or 13, 14 different levels, which we're not going to use all those, of course, but gives kind of a what they call a shot from the hip type estimate, but more than just a 1 through 5 thing. Anything else to add on that before we move to the signal strength?
We could nail a little bit better with this. I like that better than just the standard RST. It's got a lot more flexibility, and you get a lot more information off it. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, roger that. Well, anyway, of course, now with the signal strength, and before we had zero, which actually now the signal strength on the CS system is based on the S-meter. The RST was actually originated before S-meters were widely used or even closely calibrated. I believe, and I don't have that in front of me, I think it's like 50 microvolts is supposed to be the S9 reading. I could be wrong, but I think that's what the actually calibrated S-meter is. And so there actually is a standard, though, even though it's used to be more of just a reference. Let me reset. Anyway, so the S is now, zero, of course, is just nothing. There's nothing there, once again. 1 through 9 is actually an S meter reading of S1 through S9. And then they go on to letters of A, B, C, D, E, and F, each one going up 10 dB over S9. 60 dB over S9. I don't even think I have that on my meter. I just hope I don't have that. Maybe that's when it's just pinned. I don't know. But anyway, pretty neat. And Mike, I think that gives us a little more range. And actually, that S means something. Is that correct?
It stands for signal.
Exactly. So if I said, Mike, you're, and we're, of course, we're going through the repeater here, and we're actually, anybody who's listening, you're actually hearing signal strength of the repeater, actually not of us getting into what we are hitting the repeater. So kind of different with a repeater. But on the HF bands. So if I said, well, you got a G5, that would be what? So G is good, and 5 would be what? S5?
You know, and it doesn't have to be S9 to be able to fully copy me. So, yeah, I'm happy with that, and I'm 100 miles away from the repeater. Thanks, Tom.
Well, you're probably that. Actually, you're 5'9", Mike. Oh, wait a minute. No, we got to get out of that habit. And, you know, of course, there's nothing wrong with that, using the RST. This is just something that's come up, and I'm not sure how old this system is, but with anything, it's just kind of trying to refine it. And, of course, it has to take hold. People have to start using it. There are a couple other optional quality suffixes, but, you know, that's getting a little detailed, which is fine. And I think if you're going to be contesting, I will bet it'll be a long time before the 5-9 goes away. Back to you, Mike.
Yeah, that's been in use for so long that it's going to take a long time to die off. I sure like this system a lot better, but there are a lot of people, you'd be telling them you're an NBR, and I'm afraid you might get some inappropriate responses to that on the HF bands.
Yeah, roger that. mention that. Now, here's an example. Of course, I am actually physically 1.8 miles from the repeater. So anything that hits the repeater, I mean, the repeater signal to me has just always got my meter pegged. But now, if I was going to give a signal report on you, I really can't give you a strength because what I'm seeing here is just actually the repeater. So what's the best option I can do with we're doing repeater work like this, and I'm going to give you a signal report, possibly not going to be able to use the CS system. However, you want to know how you're, you know, what the copy is over here. So explain to me the two, we still have two things. We still have the copyability and signal strength. And how do we differentiate without going into a repeater?
I'm not sure on the new CS system, but I'll take a wild stab at it. I would think that, like, kind of like we've always done on the repeater, you know, kind of give you a G, good copy, but short of perfect, and then say maybe you've got 10% quieting on your signal, something like that.
Exactly, and then, of course, into the repeater we have the other term, full quieting, which is 5.9 on other types. And full quieting meaning, of course, that there is no noise. Your signal is coming into the repeater strong enough to eliminate all background noise. Copyability, a person might be speaking soft, may have possibly other issues with the microphone. That's a separate thing. So basically, with that in mind, we have other things, too, that will happen to the repeater. We have that issue with Art. Art has that problem trying to come in at Sun City. We've had Ray have that problem also when we have an inversion layer or an ionized layer there with the winds. And that's multipathing into the repeater. And boy, that sounds terrible. And a lot of times, if you've ever heard somebody off frequency, you'd swear it's the same thing. So is there any way we can tell the difference or not? Back to you, Mike.
I'm going to send you back that one to answer that one. I'm more of an HF than a repeater guy. You know, I know what picket fencing sounds like, and multipath, off-frequency and multipath sounds a lot similar. Maybe a little more warble on the frequency. I don't know. Give it back to me, Tyler. Give it back to you, Tom, and clear us in on that one.
Well, to be honest, it's almost hard to tell the difference because if you're multipathing, basically, what that means is that something's interrupted the straight path, the normal full strength path that you have to the repeater. Whatever, maybe ionized air, and we're going to assume that you're at a stationary position for the first part of this. And as you're trying to get in the repeater, of course, your signal's still bouncing around. It might be coming via Mount Baldy for Art, and then bouncing east or off of San Jacinto, or bouncing around a couple loops there. Problem is, we'll have about two or three different paths, slightly delayed one from the other, and what happens is it gets this weird distortion. Sounds a lot like off frequency. Basically, what it is the two signals mixing, and unfortunately, it also is really bad with the copy. It gets to the point where you can actually be almost down to zero, even though they are hitting the repeater. Any other comments there, Mike?
Well, nothing really to add on that one. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and you have the same thing on HF. We've had HF fade, same thing. You've got a change in the path, the ionization, or as we talked about this once before, multipathing on HF, much lower frequency, what happens is one will get out of phase. It'll come in a little bit stronger and actually make the signal fade out. The fading is actually from a lot of intermixing of multipath. And that's you're hearing it on HF. That's the explanation, the best as I could do. But anyway, with all these different things there, so when you give a guy who's fading in and out or a guy who's actually multipathing and you give him a 5.9, he's got no clue that you can't understand him. So sometimes better to be honest and give him the truth. Anything else to add, Mike?
A lot of times you'll start out on on HF, 10 meters is just fantastic for this sometimes. And you'll start out and signal will be a 5-9 when you first start UQ. So, and then you get QSB, which is the fading up and down. I always restate, and I'll always tell them, well, there's QSB on your signal, you're down to a 4x3 or, you know, whatever the appropriate signal report is. But, yeah, we'll always change it in midstream if that's the situation.
Now, roger that. And, you know, a lot of times when I do a net or other people do a net, one of the things I add after calling off the names, whether it be the ECS or CERT or the Tech Tuesday net or whatever, I'll call out a name or a call sign, and if I do not hear them, I will actually come back and say nothing heard. That's important. And what that does is if that person's out there and he might have keyed his mic up and he thought he was transmitting, but he wasn't for whatever reason, maybe the antenna wasn't hooked up, maybe the power supply wasn't on, who knows. But anyway, that lets them know, hey, if you were transmitting, we didn't hear you. And that's always a good point, too, you know, on a net. And that's why we add that in. Anything else to add to that, Mike?
Very good point there. The nothing heard does make a big difference, especially on the kind of nets that we have, like for CERT and the ECS net. That way you know that you're checked in and you've been heard.
You know, and that's another thing, too. If we have somebody out there and we're doing a net, and the nets are basically to check conditions, check equipment, just a procedure, you know, basically training procedure, going through the motions and making sure everything's up to snuff. Often we have issues when we have these conditions. So basically by doing this when we have high winds or basically doing this in the summer when we have a heat inversion, that is one thing about the Big Bear repeater. Very high up, 8,200 feet plus, not sure exactly what it tops out at. Excellent footprint because of that height. However, puts it above the inversion layer that'll happen quite often in Southern California, and now that's a barrier. Signals from the repeater down tend to bounce off of it, and who knows where they're going. Same way with people down below trying to get up here. So a lot of good stuff there we've learned by doing this. Real quick, any questions out there? Anybody with any comments or suggestions or anything on this, please come back to KF6Q.
W6POO is a quick comment.
That's Chip, and I don't know what was wrong with your signal earlier, but your signal was there. The copy was not there. So anyway, go ahead.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mike. And I too do a bunch of HF and enjoy 10 meters and 15, usually in the morning, and participate in the 1010 International Net at 10 o'clock our time. And at times, I'll get a signal report that will be like about a 5.5554 or a 4.546, and it's not. I don't distress over it because I don't have a lot of power. And but the point is, the band noise on 10 meters or 15, if I'm there, is relatively low. But that kind of report, if I'm down around 20 or 40. Or worse than that, 80 meters at night, then nobody would be hearing me. It's all relative to the band noise if you're talking about reports when you're on HF.
Yeah, and here's one thing too. I want to mention this, and we're talking about S meters and calibrated S meters and all that. And we have to realize one thing. If I'm say talking to you, Chip, out there, or Mike. And let's say I'm using a little ground plane antenna here, and then I switch over to, say, a 15-foot tall collinear. With something like that, obviously, my signal, I have a little more gain, my signal is going to boost out there, but also my signal coming in is going to be higher. So you might have been S5 with this little ground plane, and all of a sudden, you know, say we're on the 75-meter band, and all of a sudden, then you're like 10 over S9, and you haven't changed anything, but now I'm giving you a better report, but that's basically affected by my equipment. So basically, signal reports, you know, are affected by both ends. And in, let me reset real quick. To have that in mind, knew a person recently trying to give a signal report out, and he was giving it to the best of his ability. Unfortunately, he was receiving the signal bad because of where he was. And this can happen quite often, and this is why sometimes a couple reports are good, you know, within reason, not to split hairs out there, but it's based on two different things: the person who's out there, you know, transmitting, and you're in on the receiver. Anybody else out there with comments, please come back. KF6Q.
YNW.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, I don't know what net I was on, but someone said to the net control, your signal's scuzzy and I can't hear you. Well, I immediately came back and said, you know, I hear you fine, and other people said the same thing. Why should the guy be checking his checking all over his rig just because one person says, I can't hear you? K6YNW.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's a good point. Let's say if you all of a sudden aren't hearing somebody, but everybody else is, that's a good indicator there's something wrong with your own radio. Because obviously, as we're transmitting, we can't hear ourselves out there. No way we can hear ourselves out there 20, 30, 40, or 100 miles away, or thousands of miles away. So a lot of times like that, you know, these are kind of clues, and picking up off those clues is a good way that we can figure out whether it's their signal, your signal, my signal, or the atmosphere. Good point there, Chris. Anybody else with any comments?
Again.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, if someone's having a problem with their radio or something and people are reporting it or whatnot, I say don't do anything. Wait till it happens next week. A person can go all over it, but if you wait till next week and you still have the same problem, maybe look into it. K6YNW.
Good comment.
Yes, Chip, go ahead.
To add to that, what Chris was saying, if you're talking to somebody, give it about a minute or two, and once they've found you on QRZ, and if they have a beam, and they're swinging their beam around to you, this happens to me often, the initial report will come up considerably, because they have found me on QRZ, and they're adjusting their antenna to, I'm running a vertical high gain, I have no adjustment to my antenna whatsoever. And all of a sudden, my signal report improves considerably at W6POO.
This is KF6Q and the group with Tech Tuesday every Tuesday we can on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. You know, and there's radio waves in themselves are just so hard to predict, and what's going to happen, where they're going to go. We can't see them, so we're guessing how different paths are. I did speak on 75 meter net some time back to a gentleman in Washington, not Washington D.C., Washington the state. He had a beam aimed east, not south, but east, and pointed straight at Mount Rainier. And we were carrying on a conversation off the side of his beam. So go figure that. So. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of different things to benefit out there from that. So a lot of times if somebody's asking for a signal report, it's really nice to give them a great report, but better off to give them exactly how they are. They really should not be upset. If you're asking for one, you should not be upset. This is accurate information, because actually if it's not the truth, you're really not going to have a good idea of how you're getting into, whether it's the repeater or reaching into Omaha, Nebraska, or whatever it may be. Anybody else out there with any comments, please come back.
W6AWL.
All right, glad to have you out there. And just to let you know, you got a little multipath there, not real bad, but your copy is good.
I was just going to check on a signal report as you... I'm 50 down 5 meters. So I'm at 50 now.
Okay, try that again. I think we had a little QRM in there. One more time.
Okay, I found the 897 on 5 watts, so I bumped it to 50. Should make it a little better. And as a side note, on the Kenwood, I've got you on the reverse at an S7.
Ah, yes. Well, that's probably the 50 watts I'm putting. I've got my 897. This is what I use, and I think it's set at 50 watts. Definitely make sure I get in the repeater, that's for sure. Yeah, Art, actually, bumping the power up didn't really change a lot. Mike, did you hear any difference there?
No, there was a definite difference, but it wasn't markedly. It wasn't a lot.
And Art, there, like I say, we do have that little bit of multipath. That's very typical from where you're at, but it's copyable. I'm going to say it's good. But and glad to have you out there.
W6AWF.
Okay, I think we doubled there. Please come back again, Art.
Nope, I was just clearing, so you can get back to Tech Tuesday. I'll play with the antenna next and keep working on it. Plus, I owe you a couple of emails. I'll try to sit down and write to you. Have fun. Continue the net. W6AWF.
Okay, Art, appreciate that. And anybody out there listening in this evening, you can hear that little bit of fuzz on his signal. That is typical of multipath. I know he is on frequency. If you were slightly off frequency, say, you know, we're at 147.330. If you were, say, at 335 or 325, you would also get that effect. And it would still come in, but you're going to get that effect of being off frequency by 5 KC. But in this case here, he's actually getting a lot of different paths coming from down there in Sun City. And sometimes clear as a bell, sometimes we have that. So it's probably the cloud order we have. Anybody else out there, any comments, please come back.
Which Sun City is he from? He certainly picked my meter and in input. K6YNW.
I'm sorry, am I coming out in your input there, Chip? I mean, Chris?
Whoever said he was in Sun City pegged my meter on the input. There's Sun City out in the middle of the Coachella Valley. There's Sun City down by Menifee. Which one? K6YNW.
Oh, he's over there by Menifee, so if he's pegging your meter on the input, then quite possibly hitting you very, very strong. I'm sure he's glad to hear that. Good report there on the input, which is always good to know. So anyway, anybody else, any comments or just topics, questions on the topics we've had tonight?
KI6IPH.
KI6IPH, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm down here in Tustin, and I put together a seventh-element beam, Yagi, so I wonder how I'm coming up there to your location. Go ahead.
Well, I've got you on my end here, pretty much full quieting, good audio, good copy on the audio, and of course I could give you the old 5.9, but basically, yeah, your copy would be good. And signal strength really can't tell because it's coming through the repeater, but you are solid into the repeater, maybe a very, very, very slight hiss in the background, but very, very almost undiscernible.
Okay, very good. Yeah, my antenna is in the attic. I'm on the second floor, so I got to go through some lumber to get up to you. All right. Back to you, KI6IPH, should be clear.
All right, and from Tustin, good shot there. Good to hear you in there, and please join us next week, too. Anybody else out there, any questions or comments with Tech Tuesday as we're getting close to wrapping up the net? And hearing none, Mike, any last comments?
I was going to sum this up here with the what we've been talking about, basically, you're talking about the quality of the path the signal is propagating over, quality of the antenna and equipment on both ends. And, you know, a guy with a step IR up at 100 feet versus a guy right next door giving you a signal report that's got a vertical without any radials on it. I mean, you're going to get completely different signal reports. So, I mean, you have to realize that it's just a relative report. That's what we've been talking about tonight. Back to you, Tom. Great Tech Tuesday tonight, and a lot of information was put out. Let's keep up the good work. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, you know, I think we kind of overlooked the signal reporting is just kind of like you know, a shot from a hip thing, but actually it can be very helpful, especially when somebody's trying to troubleshoot a system, and you know, and it's always good to be honest about that, just for that sake in itself. So. But anyway, good deal, and I hope we've helped everybody else out there kind of clear up a couple things. And the different reporting systems, essentially, different numbers, different letters and all that, but essentially, in plain language, you can just tell the guy what you hear, and that works too. So simple language always works. All right, well, everybody out there, thanks for joining in this Tuesday, and hope to see you again next Tuesday at the same time, 1900 hours, and... we'll have another great topic out there and work on some of the many, many different things out there with ham radio. So, this is QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net, closing the net. And I have 1900 hours, 46 minutes. And from time to time, we do try to start coordinated. That's pretty cool. I don't know. Coordinated universal time. Maybe just, I think it's neat. All right, guys, everybody out there, take care, be safe, and we'll catch you again next Tuesday. This is KF6Q, returning the repeater to normal use.